Good morning. Whether you're here in person or here online, we welcome you here to just come together to worship God. He's the reason we're here. To be still. Wow, yeah. This morning, got three little kids running around, a new puppy barking in the apple and stuff. It was just, you know, it was sort of chaos, all right? But singing that song, just, yeah. Even in the midst of chaos, we can find peace because God is there. His stillness, His peace, His presence. It's incredible, and it's great. So today, we're going to learn a little bit about character as the plan here, and we're going to start out with our reading. So, Gwen.
Our first reading is 3 John 9 through 14. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We will also speak well of him, and you know what our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Our second reading is Titus 1, 4 through 9. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Here ends the second lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of Matthew chapter 23 verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids are free to go out to children's church here? All right, way cool. Love it. Love it. We're supposed to be like kids. I mean, there's something to that. That's a whole other sermon, but yeah, I love it. All righty. We could do the noisy part, yeah. We could create more chaos. Yeah. All right. Lord, we thank you for children. We thank you that we are your children, that we can come to you anytime, anywhere, that you are the good Father. You listen to us. You take the time for us. Always make time in your schedule for us, Lord. You care about us and love us. Help us to care about and love other people as well. Amen. All righty, finishing out 3 John today. There's a sentence. Your reputation precedes you. Now, that can be good or bad, right? Yeah, if you got a good reputation, it's getting out there. Hey, that's wonderful. You know, roll with it. If you got a bad reputation and it's getting out there, people are going to know ahead of time. And, you know, maybe it's time for a little introspection, time to self-examination and see what we need to change. Now, we have reputations as individuals. Certainly, we all do. And you might have a good reputation in one circle and a not so good in another circle. Depends on who's rating you, right? And what their standards and qualifications are. But we also collectively have a reputation as Christians. And that ought to be as those who love others, those who care for others, those that will set aside things for others, to be there for others, to take them in, to welcome them, to feed them, to house them, to whatever we can do. That's what Christ lays out for us. Is that the reputation that Christians have today? Some do. That's great. They're on the right track. Others, well, it depends on, again, the source, who you're listening to. Some people are going to classify Christians in one way, and some are going to classify them in another way. Why? Because of their beliefs? Because of what they've experienced, the way they've been treated by people who are Christians? Some interesting thoughts as we lead into this today. We hear about 3 people in 3 John here today. All 3 are Christians. Gaius, to whom the letter is addressed, Diotrephes, that Gwen told us about, or read us about, and Demetrius as well. They're all very different. Well, Gaius and Demetrius are sort of aligned. There's some common ground there for sure, a lot of it. But Diotrephes, on the other hand, I find this disturbing. John, he's one of the head honchos here, okay, at this time. You got John, Peter, and Paul, probably the 3 super apostles that are going out, spreading the word, setting up churches, encouraging people in their faith, making the rounds, writing letters, doing everything they can. There's many other teachers that are going out as well. But these 3 are like the big 3, all right? And John had written a letter about Diotrephes. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. Diotrephes is some sort of elder or leader in the church. The way it describes him, I'll call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously. Not just gossiping, but they put an adverb in there, right? Maliciously. You know, bad gossiping is bad enough, but when it's malicious, I mean, this is, yeah, it's the next level. So gossiping maliciously about fellow Christians. Fellow Christians? Okay. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He's not welcoming others in. That's one hope for this gathering, this congregation here, is that when anybody walks in this door, they are welcomed. Doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, what they look like, any of that stuff. What kind of reputation, once again, they have, doesn't matter. You come in here, you should be welcomed. Alrighty. Refusing to welcome the brothers, he also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. He's sort of like shunning or excommunicating people. This guy's got some control issues, all right? He does. And he needs to be reined in somehow. He didn't even listen to John, one of the super leaders, all right? And he's doing damage to the church as a whole and to believers. He's taking that reputation of Christians. People are seeing what he's doing. Well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Yeah, and we certainly shouldn't be that type of Christian. And does the word Christian even apply there? I really question if it does. You know, he's a leader in a church, but boy, the actions have to line up with the words. And if we're following Jesus, those actions should be, again, caring about others, being concerned for others. So how to correct him? Well, John's at a distance, but he does his best. He writes a letter. And that should be something that's convicting to get this letter from one of the big 3 into, okay, it should make you think a little bit. Did it make Diotrephes think? No. He's somehow caught up in this. Maybe it's the lust for power or something like that. I don't know. He's got other motives here, but it's not the love of Christ. So how to rein him in? How to correct him? At this time, they didn't have a hierarchical structure for the church, really. Later on, that would come, especially with Catholicism. You know, you got the priest, and you got the, what's the next level? Bishop, probably, and then a cardinal, and then the pope or something like that. But there's oversight. If someone starts to go in rogue, they can sort of rein him in, all right? And there is value in that. I'm not big on bureaucracy. I don't think that people should, you know, have this position in the church and all that. You know, hey, we're just here as fellow brothers and sisters. But, you know, there is a place for that. And we're going to hear about that in Titus and how there was a need for it. And there was a need here as well, because how are they going to rein this guy in? How are they going to control him? How are they going to redirect him? Well, if there's no bishop to do it, I guess it's up to the people. And we don't know how this ends. My hope is that Diotrephes sort of listened to people, examined himself, realized his error, confessed to God, repented, and just turned his life around to lead others in the right direction, to serve Christ, and as the best possible example. I hope that happened. Again, we don't know the rest of the story. You know, where's Paul Harvey when you need him? I want to know the rest of the story. How did this end? Maybe someday we'll find out. But yeah, we have to hold each other accountable as Christians, but in a nice and a loving way. If you see a brother or sister in Christ, you know, headed down the wrong road, you just sort of tap them on the shoulder. Hey, can I just have a talk with you or something? And we should also be open to that. Because is anyone here perfect? Anyone worthy to cast the first stone? No, of course not. We all screw up. We all need to be corrected at times. And let us be open to that. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I ever start saying anything up here that doesn't line up with this, let me know. Just pull me aside after worship and say, hey, Mike, there's something you said there that the Spirit just really brought out to me or pointed out to me that needs to be corrected. But not only from the pulpit here, but also in our daily living, right? Because we are all ambassadors for Christ. We all, through what we say and what we do, represent him to the world around us. And again, we want that good reputation for Christians, to be loving, to be caring, to be concerned, to be helping, to be kind. That's what we're shooting for. That's what the example that Christ set. You know, it's like an unobtainable example. We're human. No, he's not. But we can, you know, progress and become better and better and better in the way that we do these things. So we got this example of Diotrephes, but he's contrasted now with Demetrius. Verse 11 is sort of a turning point. He's laid out the charges against Diotrephes, and they're real. This guy should not be in a leadership position. It's very clear if he's doing these things. Yeah, definitely not in a leadership position and needs to be corrected. So verse 11 is sort of a turning point. Dear friend, talking to Gaius again, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Again, what we do, what we imitate, the way we live, sends a big, big message, bigger than the words many times. Although words can be recorded, taken out of a context, and used against you, we all know that, of course. But our words should be, you know, full of grace and seasoned with salt. They should be kind and helping others, of course, not the malicious gossip we heard about here. So don't imitate what is evil. Don't imitate this leader, Diotrephes, but instead he's transitioning to Demetrius. Anyone who does what is good is from God, yes. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. So they'll know us by our works, by what we do. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone. Everyone speaks good of him, and even by the truth itself. So the Spirit is confirming it here as well. We also speak well of him. And you know that our testimony is true. So John's giving a stamp of approval to Demetrius and what he's doing. Again, contrasting it with Diotrephes. And then he ends it, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. It's great to get a letter from someone, but seeing them face to face once again, that's wonderful. Then peace to you, the friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. So a standard letter. With three men in it, all Christians, I guess, by name or by title. And I don't know. Again, if you are a Christian, your life should show it. Gaius is doing the right thing. He's welcoming the teachers. He's putting them up for the night. He's encouraging them on their way. Diotrephes, who is all about self, and Demetrius, who again is doing what is right, living the right. So the importance of character here is what seems to be coming up to me constantly, with Gaius and Demetrius on one hand and Diotrephes on the other. Character, what people see, but also what they don't see. There's that one definition of character is what you do when no one's looking, right? When there's no one around to see if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. That shows your true character because you're not doing it for an audience of other people. Hopefully you're just doing what's right because of who you are, a Christian. We do the right things because we're Christians. We love because He first loved us. He set that example. Alrighty. So again, we don't know how this ends here. This is how the letter ends, but how did it end with Diotrephes? I want to know. Given the lack of hierarchy and the lack of oversight, it was a problem in the early church because you had many teachers going out with their understanding of what Jesus did and their interpretation of the Old Testament, and their messages varied. There needs to be one central message. There needs to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as these letters were written and circulated, then it started to take more shape, and we got more of a solid understanding of what a Christian is. But it was a challenge at times, especially for Titus. That's what we heard today in the second reading. Titus is on Crete, and he's been given the responsibility of setting up leaders, elders in the church, on the island of Crete. Okay, the island of Crete in the Mediterranean, sort of between Greece and Turkey there. And Crete had a reputation that preceded them, for sure. We didn't read verse 12 today, but if we were to skip down to it, and this is Paul writing, okay, again, one of the big three, and he's writing truth, he's inspired by the Spirit. If it's written in here, it's truth, all right? And the Cretans, alrighty. Regarding the Cretans, even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so they will be sound in faith. Alrighty. So, yeah, it's just living on the island of Crete. The moral standards there were, yeah, pretty doggone low, all right? And Titus is there trying to set up churches, which is great because are they needed here? Yes, they are. They are desperately needed here where people are living in that way. This is fertile ground for the sowing of the gospel. This is where the missionaries need to be going. But he has to set up local leaders, which is valuable. Yeah, you can have some foreigner come in and tell people stuff, but if it's someone that you know and trust or recognize that speaks your language, is that going to probably go a little bit better? Yeah, so homegrown leaders, he's trying to pick some out. But the pool to draw from is pretty doggone small. I mean, if this is the way people are, it's sort of like trying to find, I don't know, sometimes in elections, find a good candidate or something, right? The pool can be pretty small sometimes. So he has to really strive to find these people and then build them up in the faith to give them a grounding in the gospel so that they can carry it to others in the right way and faithfully. And that is a challenge. So it's a big deal here to find these people. There were a lot of Diotrephes on this island and very few probably Demetriuses. The qualifications that are set up here, too, you used to appoint elders in every town, as I directed you, and an elder must be blameless. Well, right there, that discounts everybody. You're not going to find a single person that's blameless, okay? We are all human. But someone that's trying to do the right thing, trying to the best of their ability to follow Jesus, you know, again, we're not going to be perfect. Must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, so not a polygamist. A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Now, you can do your best to raise your kids, you know, but at times, I know I put my parents through a lot. But you do your best. And if someone is doing their best in these things, that's what we're looking at, right? We're human. All righty. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. All those things are negatives, but then the qualifiers, he must be hospitable, being willing to take others in, to be kind, to be serving to others, right? Alrighty. Hospitable, one who loves what is good. Right, we heard that. Follow what is good, not what is evil. Who is self-controlled. That's one of the seven in Galatians, isn't it? The fruits of the Spirit. Upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. Okay, to hold firmly to it. That part I underlined really dark. All right, all these other things are great, and absolutely, we have to exhibit self-control. We have to be upright, holy, and disciplined to the best of our ability, but to hold firmly to the teachings, to stand firm, absolutely, absolutely, especially if this person's going to be in a leadership position. They have to stand firm on the teachings so that he can encourage others. And there we go. That leader must also encourage others to build them up in their faith, to lift them up, to encourage them, to exhort them, to go forth and make a difference in this world. To encourage others by sound doctrine, not by false teachings or questionable teachings, but by sound doctrine, and refute those who oppose it. So our sound doctrine, of course, is the scripture right here. We've got to hold to this. We've got to interpret it to the best of our ability and stand firm on it. Encourage others in their faith. We are all leaders, okay? This is not just for the bishops, for the pastors, for anybody in a leadership position. It's all of us. Maybe you're a leader in your family. Maybe you're a leader in a group of friends. Maybe you're just encouraging leaders. But these are the characteristics that we all have to exhibit here to be Christians, to be hospitable, upright, holy, disciplined, hold firmly to the message. Absolutely. So that's true today as well as in this time when they were trying to find these leaders on the island of Crete. A tough job that was left to Titus for sure. But in our time as well, and in Jesus' time, clearly, because we'd heard that in the gospel today about Jesus' time. Jesus is talking about the Pharisees here once again. Now he likes to, just sort of talk to them, jest with them a little bit, trade philosophies with them. He's sort of giving them a little to think about, a little bit of correction, and they need it. They're doing the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And that's where he holds them accountable. So then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So these people had positions of importance. There were about 6,000 Pharisees all told at that time, and they were given to following the letter of the law exactly. Talk about being righteous and striving to be. They just followed those commands, and they set an example for everybody else, but sometimes for the wrong reasons. Alrighty. So these teachers of the law and the Pharisees, Jesus himself says, you must obey them and do everything they tell you. Yeah, these teachers that are off the rails in some way. But what they are doing is correct. They are following the law. They are following the scripture, the Torah. All right, so you must do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do. All righty. So actions and words again have to line up or else there's hypocrisy involved. And he's saying, yeah, do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. These people know the right thing. They're saying the right thing, but they're not doing the right thing. And again, the actions, so important. They do not practice what they preach, it says here, yes. Okay, so some of the things against them, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. These are not literal burdens, but these are the burden of the law that they create. They had God's law, and then they made their own laws in addition to it. They're even more strict in places. They make their phylacteries wide. Okay, a phylactery was a little box that they tied to their forehead or to their arm, as it said in the Old Testament there, that contained the scrolls and the commandments. So they didn't just put little ones on there, big ones. Okay, we're going to draw attention to ourselves, right? Hey, I'm a super Pharisee, right? Okay, the tassels on the garments long. They were to have tassels on the garments, but they, again, went above and beyond, made them super long. They love the place of honor at banquets, okay? They want to be glorified. They're proud of it. And the most important seats in the synagogues. Jesus used that in other parables, too, to seek the lowest seat that you might be moved up, not the highest that would be moved down. And they always wanted the top seat, right? They love to be greeted in the marketplace and have men call them rabbi or teacher. So he's taking these people to task here and saying, okay, what they're saying is right, but don't do what they do because these examples are not good. And he says to the listeners, but you are not to be called teacher or rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. We're all equal before Christ. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. All right, well, we got our father in heaven, and you also, every single person here has an earthly father, okay, whether you know him or not or whatever. You're dead or alive. We all came from mother and a father. You can't argue with the biology. But you only have one father. I remember some years ago, Josh gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had. Everybody loves getting a good compliment. Sometimes you get to wait a while, but he gave me one of the best compliments I've ever had. He said, Dad, you're my second favorite dad. My second favorite father. I go, I like that. You know, to hear your kids saying that, to know that they are being raised in the truth and that it's hitting home, that he believes. And I said, I'm honored to be your second favorite father. You got your priorities straight, young man. It was great. It was lovely. Okay. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. We're all equal before him again. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus, again, setting the example, the servant leader, the one who deserves all glory, washing the feet of others, taking the time to listen to others, healing others. It was always about others once again. Always about others. Let us be servant leaders as well. Let us serve others and set an example by doing so. Let us reclaim that reputation of Christians as being, you know, the ones that love, the ones that accept, the ones that will be there for others. Even if we don't agree with them, we can still be there for them and set that example, maybe spark that curiosity so they'll want to become a Christian as well. When they see that we have peace in the storm, when they see that we love people, when they see that we have this hope and that we have this confidence, hopefully they'll want it as well. So let our lives be an example. Let us be Demetrius, not Diotrephes for sure, all right? Helping others, being kind, being good to others. Let us uphold the qualifications that were given in Titus. Not all of us are going to be bishops or pastors, anything like that, but those qualifications should describe a Christian as well. And let us do the right things for the right reasons. Amen.